What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And in quarantine fashion, we're going to do an episode on working from home because it feels very appropriate for right now, huh?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, well, it's weird because like I've been working from home for like, you know, what, a year and a half now. You guys, you know, work from home, but also have worked from hotels and airports and all kinds of stuff. Like you guys are now solely working from home, which is going to be interesting to see how, like, you know, what the big difference is, you know, for you guys.
I don't think I've ever worked from home, I'll be honest. I
mean, really?
Yeah, even writing jokes and stuff, usually I like to go to a coffee shop or something. I mean, I can do work at my desk, but even like having an office is fairly new for me. I mean, I guess I moved here in August. I guess it's been a while, but I haven't been home for much of it. I mean, Kelsey, I don't know how you feel, but I definitely feel like my job is at comedy clubs, on the road, in hotel rooms, and in coffee shops and stuff.
Wow. Yeah, it's about 50-50 for me. I feel like I do a pretty good amount of my work at home, but then our, you know, work for stand-up is the opposite of home. It's like we fly across the country and go to places that we've never been before that don't feel like home to us at all a lot of the time. So it's a weird balance I think we're always trying to maintain. But now, yeah, obviously it's like we have to find ways to be productive from home indefinitely because we don't know when we're going to open up again.
Wow, Taylor, I didn't know that you didn't really do much work from home before this. So this must be a huge change because I guess like, if, I mean, I don't know. I just kind of assumed like, oh, you'd probably do like, you know, content stuff at home and this type of stuff. But like,
I'm not like somebody who makes videos for the internet, you know, like if I post a video, usually it's stand up or a picture or whatever. Like I'm not doing a lot from home. Home is usually my safe space, which is not about work. And if I am working again, it's just like writing jokes or getting jokes together to go out and do my job.
I do
prefer like a coffee shop or something to kind of people watch and feel like I'm in more of like a workplace environment. So this has been a real adjustment for me for sure. And I, as somebody who was very burnt out and tired of traveling and like kind of romanticizing exactly this situation, wake up every day, know exactly what to expect.
Yeah.
Go to bed in the same bed. And now I'm like, ooh, don't care for this. Yeah. Granted, this is very different in that we can't go anywhere or see anybody. So
yeah,
it's not a true test, but oh man, do I miss stand up and travel and everything
else. Yeah. This is not a vacation. I mean, like, maybe for some people they would consider this a vacation, but I feel like even the people who truly are homebodies and are into the idea of a staycation, this is extreme. Like, yeah, you would still like to be able to go out to eat at a restaurant, perhaps one night of your staycation if you wanted
right.
to.
Can't, yeah.
You can't do so many things right now. So,
or at least order takeout without Lysoling it.
Sure. Yeah. Something that's not completely fear-based.
Right.
Also, by the way, Taylor, your hair looks so cute right now.
Cute.
And this is our first quarantine video version of the podcast. So yeah, since quarantine, since recording remotely, we have not been doing video. But now, if you are not already subscribed to our Self-Helpless podcast channel on YouTube, you should, because we're doing this over Zoom today. So you can go see, like, our faces, if you want.
See our faces, and then see our wonderful sound engineer, Emma's beautiful picture as well. She's yeah. here. She's here making it all go smoothly.
Yeah. See the background of our homes, and sometimes our pets make special appearances too. So yes, it's fun. You can go watch there if you want. We have a quotable today from Eleanor Roosevelt. Always nice of her to
love
stop
her.
By.
Oh.
She says, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, 'I lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along.'" Oh, thank you, Eleanor.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's really, oh, I love that so much. I just yeah. need a minute to
yeah, let it sink in.
Let it sink in.
Let yeah. it ruminate through your
yeah. Yeah, feels good.
That's not the hardest thing about all of this, is that there isn't something that you can compare it to directly and go, oh well, this happened before with yeah. this disease or whatever, and we got through it and we're fine. But I do think that once we're through this, we are going to be a lot stronger and a lot more grateful, and we are going to be able to say that in the future about other things. I mean, God, I've certainly felt that way just looking back at times. Again, I was stressed or burnt out or going through a bad breakup, and I'm like, that all seems very easy now.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think you're right, Tay. I think it will put a lot of things into perspective for us and make us more grateful, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Here are some tips, or I'm sorry, not tips, just stats on working from home and COVID-19. So even before COVID-19 became a factor, increasing numbers of people have been saying goodbye to their onerous commute to work and hello to the flexibility of remote working. According to recent research at Harvard Business School, companies with work from anywhere policies can boost employee productivity, reduce turnover, and lower organizational costs. The top fields where people are working remotely are computers and IT, education and training, and healthcare. The Brookings Institution recently described that the pandemic, among other things, is a massive experiment in telecommuting, which I completely agree with. I was just talking with a friend about this, that even when things are done, in terms of, like, maybe people can kind of go back to their normal lives, I think a lot of people will continue to work from home.
Hell yeah. I mean, like, seriously, as a business owner too, it's like, I would not pay for an office space if I didn't need one. It just doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah,
if everybody can do their job well from their homes, and you can have, you know, employees all over the country or the world, you know, wherever you're at, I don't know. Why wouldn't you? Why would you spend the extra money on a space that you truly don't need?
Yeah.
That'll be really interesting to see how that stuff shifts. And then another thing I want to mention is today's topic, it was chosen by our wonderful helpsters on Patreon. So if you want an opportunity to vote on different topics that we do on the show, patreon.com/selfhelpless, baby. The quotes that are coming in the last several episodes too are also submitted by our patrons too. So you get to influence the content of the show in a very big way if you want to join. All right. Definitely. So, Taylor, is it still you, Kelsey?
No, you go ahead for the first tip, Del.
Wait. So how can we work effectively at home? Here are 8 tips to help you have success as a remote worker and stay sane. So tip number 1, maintain regular hours. Set a schedule and stick to it. Clear guidelines for when you are working and when you are not helps many remote workers maintain work-life balance. That said, one of the benefits of remote work is flexibility, and sometimes you need to extend your day or start early to accommodate someone else's time zone. When you do, be sure to wrap up earlier than usual or sleep in a bit the next morning to make up for it. Automatic time tracker apps such as Rescue Time let you check in whether you're sticking to your schedule. Check on to see if you're maintaining it.
Yeah.
They can also help you figure out what times of day you're most productive versus when you slack off. I already know mine. You can use that information to your advantage by reserving your hours of high focus for your most important tasks. Oh my God, sticking to the schedule is just, you have to. Like, if there's no schedule, you are just in this weird in-between mode all day of like, is it fun? You know, is it relaxing time or am I in work mode? And it's just this constant kind of like not know what the fuck you're doing. So I would say I've been able to maintain that. How are you guys doing? Do you guys have like a set schedule right now where you start work and end work?
My start and end times are still pretty loose. I do need to like find more structure with that. I will say that if I had not started, so this is my planner. If I had not started using a planner like well before quarantine started, I think I would be spiraling a lot harder right now. But fortunately, I got myself into a really good routine before quarantine hit in terms of like writing every single thing out in my planner each day. And I really encourage our listeners that if you haven't done that yet and you're struggling to feel like, okay, how did the last 3 hours just get away from me? Or I know I had to do something today and I can't remember what it is. And then you like shoot up in bed at 2 a.m. like, oh, fuck, I didn't send that email. Getting a planner has helped me, I think, like lower my anxiety levels more than I could have ever imagined. Because it doesn't seem like it's going to be, I don't know, maybe that impactful, but really even writing out things like shower, lunch, it's important and it keeps you on track and it gives you a much more accurate idea of your time than if you write like only the work things you have to do in there, because most of the time you're not realizing, oh yeah, if I do shower, if I do have to call like my mom, if I do have to do these things that are essential things, but you don't write them down, your day is maybe not as as wide open, or you might not have as much time as you think. It's helpful to be realistic, I think, about how much time you have.
Oh, absolutely. I think you need to give like yourself more time for a task than you usually would. Like,
yeah.
I think we're obviously prone to like trying to fit a big to-do list in a very small chunk of time. And now I just try to do the opposite, where like I have a rule with myself that I cannot do more than 3 like big things per day. Like, you know, like a big thing, meaning like, okay, I have a client at this time. I have a meeting, whatever, and then I have to do this like task for this project. I won't have anything else on my schedule until, you know, if I complete those things and if I feel like I have the energy to do some other stuff, that's just kind of a bonus. That's just extra. But I actually can't write everything out on my schedule, or that will make me feel very anxious, where I'm like, I'm never gonna be able to get to everything, like going crazy. And so I find it actually helpful for me to like in my planner, seeing as little as possible on my schedule. We're the opposite. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I only have like about 3 things on my schedule per day. And then the rest of it, I kind of just practice like intuitive self-care, like we kind of talked about. But I do that within a structure of, I don't take any calls before 9, and I always wrap up my work by 5:30. That's like my non-negotiables. But in that time frame, I will be flexible with when I can have the meeting or the call or the visit. And I have to, and then I know like I have to take a real lunch break and I have to take 1 or 2 walks a day. Those are like my absolute like baseline non-negotiable.
Yeah. So interesting. So it's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I've been practicing like intuitive scheduling, because it is impossible to do the exact same thing every day, because, you know, some days you do 4 hours of podcasting, and there have been days where I've woken up at 5:30 in the morning to do 4 hours of radio calls, where I literally call like 15 radio stations in a row. And then the rest of the day is like kind of shot where you're like, all right, do I sleep? Like, do I try to nap?
Yeah.
Schedule too much on those days. I think Delaney, the idea of like only scheduling no more than like three big things, I've probably been trying to do as well. If I can help it, I don't do anything early in the morning besides those radio spots. I would like to get to a place where I have a little bit more structure. I mean, I don't know. Again, it's hard because our jobs aren't like set in stone.
Right.
And it is a big adjustment. So I think I've been doing it in tiny ways. Tip number two is create a morning routine, which I think is what I have been doing. So what in your morning routine indicates that you're about to start work? Is it making a cup of coffee? Is it going for a jog? Is it putting on work clothes? A routine is a powerful way to get you started during the day. And I definitely feel that way. Like, you know, I think we've talked about this already on the podcast, but the idea of like, don't just work in your pajamas all day, like change into nicer sweatpants.
Leggings.
I'm like, okay, these are my sweatpants and these matte, and then I'm going to put a shirt on that matches.
Right.
And now I feel like an outfit. I drink tea every morning. That's like the first thing I do, tea and a bunch of water. And I take like so many supplements. And like my birth control and everything. And I, other than like, I usually clean up from the night before and like make the bed. And those are my big ones.
Those are good.
Feel like, okay, now we can get going on whatever we need. Cause I can't work when it's really messy, and I can't work when I am like gross. Does it make
sense? Mm-hmm.
I can't go to work in my jammies.
For sure. Yeah. I'm going with sort of an in-between right now because we're technically working right now. We're recording the podcast. So I am wearing jeans. But because we're working from home and you guys can't see from the waist down, my jeans are fully unbuttoned because I am bloated and I'd like to feel uncomfortable in my own home. Sometimes you gotta, you know, improv a little bit. Dibble dabble.
Yeah.
I mean, you look great.
Thank you so much. You're very sweet.
Yeah, I love that. I would say I feel like my morning routine is relatively similar now. For a while, I had no morning routine. And I think what's actually funny is like you guys always make your bed right in the morning, like for consistently for a long time.
Yeah.
And when I had a day job at like my corporate job, I never made my bed in the morning because I was like, let me just fucking get ready and then I have to get to this place. But now working from home for like a year and a half, I make my bed every single morning because this is also my work environment. So like when I come upstairs for something, I like to see that it looks nice. So I thought that was kind of funny. Like depending on like where you work or what you're doing, your morning routine probably changes because of what you might need in that new environment. Where for me, it's like, I didn't want to waste my time making my bed because I had to get to this, you know, I had to commute to work and do all this stuff. And it's like, well, I'm not even going to see it until I get home and then I go to bed. So
that's
interesting.
Yeah. It's also, I was just listening to Samantha Ravendahl say this on one of her podcasts. She has a great podcast called Approachable, that when you make your bed, it also makes you less tempted to get back into it during the day, which I mean, if you need to take a nap, of course, take a nap.
Go to the couch.
Take care of yourself. Yeah. But it is true. I think like once you kind of get your bed in that more tidied up way, you're less tempted to be like, well, maybe I'll just slink back in here for a while and push my work back. It does set the tone of the day of like, okay, the bed's made, so I'm going to do work now.
So true. Yeah. I've been stretching every morning. That's something new that I've been maintaining. I've been stretching and like, taking better care of myself. So
that's awesome. You know. Okay. So tip number three, set up a functional workspace. Not everyone has a designated home office, but it's critical to have a private, quiet space for your work. If you can, separate your work area from your personal spaces and use it just for work, not for other activities. Minimize distractions. If you have loud surroundings, consider investing in noise-canceling headphones. If your kids are home and you're without childcare, see if you and your spouse or a friend in a similar situation can take turns with care, which may mean you have to talk to your manager about working evening hours. We just did a great interview with Justine Soans. Is that, am I saying her last name correctly?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. And that'll come out in a week, but she's a specialist in boundaries. And that was a whole big focus that we did on like how to designate your workspace and like maintain a boundary for keeping a workspace during all of this quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really good. Do you guys like, for me, I mean, when Cam is not working from home with me, when it's not, you know, when we're not in a pandemic, he's at work and I'm at home. And so I have a lot more space. Like I'm usually working downstairs and I basically have like my dining room table is like my big desk. Uh-huh. And then I just move everything off my table at the end of the day to be like, okay, now it's a dinner table. With Cam home, like we had to figure out our spaces. So he's now downstairs at the dining room table. And I have had to turn my dresser into my desk, which is right over there. As you can see, there's a chair and everything. So my bedroom, part of my bedroom, my dresser is now my desk and he has downstairs. But that way it feels like we have separate office spaces in our tiny, you know, one bedroom apartment. But like, you know, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah, everybody's just making it work right now. It's tough.
Yep. But like, it's nice to like the functional, I don't know how you guys feel about your workspace. I need it to be like very clear with only a couple things on it. And a couple, like one thing has to be cute. So it's like, I got the candle that makes me feel like, oh, this is a special area. And then like my planner and my laptop and then, you know, pens, like that's pretty much keeping it really simple.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right. So tip number four, schedule breaks. A lunch hour and 2 15-minute breaks seem to be the standard for full-time U.S. employees. Know your company's policy on break times and take them. If you're self-employed, give yourself adequate time during the day to walk away from the computer screen and phone. Mm. Oh my God. Yes, dude. When I first transitioned from having a full-time job in corporate to working from home, I was not taking full lunch breaks. I was like, working at home than I was at the office. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like I would give myself an hour work break at the office and I would give myself 2 15-minute breaks without question every day. In fact, it was easy to do that because I didn't like my job that much.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, when is my next break? I'm ready. But when you come like at home, it's like, you know, especially if you enjoy what you're doing, it's so easy to work through lunch, work through breaks of all kinds. So that's something that I definitely do now is like, I take longer than an hour lunch break and I take frequent breaks in between each of my big tasks. I will take a good, you know, 20, 30 minute break usually at least.
Yeah. I think a really hard thing I'm finding is differentiating between work and relaxing because like I'll go on Instagram to unwind and just like be on it and zone out. But I also use Instagram for work. And so there's so many, I think I need to be clear with myself because I would like to be more structured in that way of taking 2 15-minute breaks and a structured hour and having a time that I am done working, but it's kind of slippery. Like a lot of things feel similar and I think I just need to be a better, more clearer boss to myself, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've caught myself doing that sometimes where like, what's a good example? Oh, like I'll see like Florence Pugh did a cooking Instagram story. Uh-huh. It'll come up on my thing and I'll go, okay, we're going to save that later when we've gotten more done and we've earned it.
Yes.
It's so stupid to be like, rationing people's Instagram story. I mean, being on Instagram right now is a great way to feel like you're not doing enough.
Oh God.
Oh yeah. Always. Yeah. It's really important to be mindful of how much time you're spending on there.
Yeah. Have you guys thought about separating it, Kels, especially, you know, you, since you are trying to figure out how to have, you know, a different relationship with social media, have you thought about designating times like, okay, this is the time I post, I only post during this time. And then this is the time I'm allowed to scroll and that's it. Like separating with that, where it's like, all right, I'll post and I have 15 minutes to just post and do this thing. And then over here, I have, you know, 20 minutes to just scroll for fun. That's the only way I can do it. I have to like compartmentalize that in a way, because if the two mix together, it becomes like, oh shit, I've been on here for an hour. How did this happen? But if I'm like, look, I'm going here to post. I'm posting and ghosting, and then I'm coming back in the afternoon to respond to people and maybe do some scrolling for fun and like see what my friends are up to. You know what I mean?
You make it sound like posting on Instagram is like running into a burning building. You're like, okay, I'm going in for this. I'm grabbing this. I'm getting the fuck out of there, and I'm not looking at anything else.
Because it, like, I mean, if you don't have a game plan, it's like, it can be such a time suck. And then for me, I just feel bad if I've been on there too long and I haven't gotten like my big three things taken care of yet.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
But sometimes the time suck is nice. I mean, there have been days in quarantine where I'm like, we're just getting through today. Like,
oh yeah.
I just want, like, Whitney Cummings posted a tweet the other day about, is waiting for it to get dark considered a hobby? Yeah. I really do feel like that. We were just like, can we just be done? Can we just be a little bit closer to being done? And, you know, sometimes that's okay to feel that way.
I took an edible last night at like 6 p.m., which is like earlier than I would have ever wanted to, really, but I just was like, this has been enough of today. Like, I've had enough hours of this particular day, and so I'm gonna do something that makes me feel like I'm in kind of some other time travel or whatever.
Yeah, dude.
But like, that's a wrap on today. I don't need
for sure
more of whatever this is right now. I'm good. I would like to just
wrap on today.
I'd like to sleep and just have a different one tomorrow.
Oh yeah. I'm all about just doing whatever you got to do for fun. I think my issue is like, if I allow myself to have a time suck, what I'm doing is I'm actually procrastinating on the thing that I need to be doing. And so for me, it's like, I can't look at certain things until I've completed this big thing that I'm going to try to put off until the end of the day. And I'm going to like do all this shit, you know, to make it seem like, oh, I've been busy. Oops.
Right.
I'll wait till tomorrow to do it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tip number 5 is leave home. To the extent that it's allowed and safe where you are during the COVID-19 outbreak, get out of the house, provided you can maintain social distancing, of course. Leave the building at least once a day. Your body needs to move. Plus, the fresh air and natural light will do you good. So take a walk or weed the garden. I am so jealous of people with gardens right now.
And backyards.
And backyards.
Oh, backyards.
Oh, God. If I had a backyard right now. Oh, I'd be spending so much time. I'd be spending so much time outside if I had a backyard right now.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice to take walks. I mean, I think we've all been good about that. Taking like, I try to walk at least once a day. If I can do 2, that's good. And then if I walk like once a day for a good while, then I feel like, okay,
So
it's hard when it's not sunny, like when it's raining and you're kind of stuck inside. And obviously, again, depending on where you're at in the world, I know, Kelsey, you had a friend in New York who like literally cannot leave.
No.
Apartment, which is, oh my gosh. In that case, I guess just, you know, sit near a window. Like it's tough right now. It's really tough to honor that like fresh air and light, tip, but also I've done that too. I have absolutely opened a window and like sat in the sun patch. By the window.
Like a cat. Like a cat. My cats do.
That works fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Do what you can while also staying safe. But
yeah,
that was one of the first things my therapist said to me when all this hit was, I was like, I'm afraid to even go on like a walk with my friends. Like, is it safe even if we're 6 feet apart? And she's like, look, it's, you're not going to do yourself any favors either by being a complete shut-in that like loses all sanity. Like, you have to also keep your immune system strong by making yourself feel okay. And again, this is all within reason, like make sure you're protecting yourself and others, but it's been okay for us to take these walks together, the three of us, and stay 6 feet apart. And if we hadn't, I can't imagine how I'd be feeling right now if I hadn't been doing that with you guys every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also easy because it's not like we're driving to get to each other, which is like a whole nother thing. Where it's like, all right, now you're touching the outside of your car and the, you know, like there's more, I feel like there's more exposure in that sense. We all live, you know, in walking distance basically. So it's been, we're going to be walking anyway. It might as well be where we can wave to each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of being social.
Right.
Driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Tip six, don't hesitate to ask for what you need. If you're employed by a company or organization that supports your work from home setup, request the equipment you need as soon as you start working from home. Set precedents early that you will ask for what you need to get your job done. Organizations that are accustomed to remote employees often have a budget for home office equipment. That's cool. If you're working from home unexpectedly due to coronavirus, ask what you need within reason. Ask for what you need within reason. Yeah, I mean, this is a time, and I know that it's the same with like bills right now. A lot of companies, like I was able to call my bank where my car loan is through, and they're doing a thing right now where they're just like suspending payments for 3 months.
Amazing.
And there's no penalty or anything like that. I mean, like interest does still accrue, but so many companies are offering help right now. And some of it is like, you don't even have to, reach out. I think Progressive right now is just, they're giving customers like 20% back of their payment as credit on the next month. And you don't have to like call or anything. They're just doing that to make it easier for people. But don't be afraid to reach out right now. If like, if you're struggling, ask for what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you are a business owner, ask your team what they need too. Like, does everybody need to work a little bit less? You know, what can we take off the plate right now to make everybody's work hours less so we can have more, you know, free time or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
Tip number seven. Over communicate. Without in-person interactions, you need to communicate much more to ensure you are on the same page with your team. Tell everyone who needs to know about your schedule and availability often. When you finish a project or important task, say so. Oh, 1000%. I am constantly, you know, now that I have an assistant, which is amazing. You know, I obviously have interactions with the cartoonist, you know, for Dicks by Delaney and all that. It's just, communication is so key when you're not like going to an office every day and like, you know, you're having those meetings or whatever. But I don't know how you guys prefer to communicate, but love voice. I love voice messages. I love Google Docs. I have my a calendar in Asana, which so my lovely assistant who can see my calendar right away. I can update it. She can update it. We're both on the same page immediately. Same thing with Google Docs, you know, sharing templates back and forth, all that. And then I really try to avoid long texts and emails now. And I just like to just send a voice message really quick. That's like, I feel like how I've kind of streamlined communication.
Yeah. You guys are both so sweet and encouraging about me making a makeup video. And so it was important to me to tell you guys like, hey, I did it. And just hear you guys go, yay, good job. Because otherwise I put in all that time and then I put it up and it's super easy for me to just like literally not give it another thought or tell myself like, hey, you did a thing that you didn't have to do and it's good that you did it. Like, you made yourself work. So you guys are like my, you know, you're like two of my best friends and you're also my coworkers. And it's like good, I think, to have that sort of usual communication that maybe you wouldn't in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a good time to have like accountability people in your life, like an accountability partner, just to keep yourselves both on track. I mean, it's been nice. having Sam here with me because his work ethic is so good, and he's very much like, let's be productive today, let's get this done tomorrow. And we've been working a lot together. So, you know, who knows how I would be faring on my own, but it certainly helps to have someone like in it with you. Yeah. So in whatever way you guys can do that for yourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very helpful. Tip number 8, plan extra social interactions. Even the most introverted people can start to feel claustrophobic and lonely working for hours in solitude. Schedule some time to connect with that world outside. Schedule a remote lunch date, a video chat with a friend, or a video exercise class. I think that is a great tip. I mean, I'm very introverted. I usually feel very drained by people. And it's been important for me to, like you guys said, like schedule time for the three of us to see each other from a comfortable distance, or, you know, do a podcast where we can Zoom chat with each other. Or my sister is still working and she's been calling me on the way home when she's driving home from work at night. Mm-hmm. So that's been nice. Like just having those check-ins with the people in your life. So yeah. You don't feel as like panicked and alone.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I'm checking in more and getting checked on more now working from home because, you know, during the pandemic before, you know, than I was before. And I think it's really important to also remember, like, when everything goes back to, you know, quote unquote normal, like when things start, you know, when this subsides and we're all out in the world again, and the people who work from home anyway still work from home, I think it's really important to make sure you are still having like social interaction every day. Because it can be so easy not to talk to a soul, you know, all day when you're working from home. And so like my rule is like, I have to talk to at least one person a day.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty big introvert. I could go days without speaking to people. I really could. And like feel fine about that. And so, but I know that like, no, it's good for me to like take breaks and, you know, talk to friends and family. So my rule for myself is one person a day, whether it's a text or a phone call or a video chat or meeting a friend for lunch or whatever.
Definitely.
That's like a non-negotiable, you know?
Yeah. And get creative with it. I mean, we've seen so many people posting cute stuff about having like happy hour with their friends on Zoom, or, you know, you both did Zoom things for your birthdays this last week. And my sister and I watched Little Women the other night together, where we called each other, started at the exact same time, and then texted through the whole movie while we were both watching it.
Oh, love that.
That's cute.
And I haven't tried this, but I have been told that Netflix, you can do something where you have like a chat on the side.
Yeah.
What you're watching. I only know because somebody tagged me and like them and their friends did a watch party with my special, which is very cool.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, you can just be like live chatting on the side of watching the movie or TV show together. And I think that's so fun.
That. Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know that at all. That is really cool.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So many ways to still be connected with people right now, even if it's like an adjustment and maybe something you wouldn't have done before, you can get creative for sure.
Yeah. And then another thing, when things go back to normal, I think if you are somebody who works from home, people often mistake you for being available rather than when you're working in an office. And so having like setting clear boundaries, like, you know, you wouldn't like show up at a person's office or like a friend's office and be like, hey, can you just like take 4 hours off and we're going to go to like the mall today? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I, I, I've experienced that. And I think a lot of people do. It's like, oh, when people find out you work from home, they feel like you're always flexible. You're always, you can do whatever. And saying like, no, I still have a structured day. And like, yeah, I can plan for a longer lunch break with you on a certain day, but it needs to be like the way that you would schedule with me if I was in an office around people and all that stuff. And so yeah. I think that's important to also keep in mind. Like if you are one of those people that has never worked from home and now you're working from home and you might continue to work from home even after this happens, mm-hmm. you might need to set those boundaries that you didn't even know were needed because yeah. this is a new experience for you. So
Tay, I don't know if you run into this on the road sometimes, but I feel like I run into it where depending on like where you're traveling to, if you know people in that city you're going to, sometimes people assume that like because you're there, that like you'll be able to hang out mm-hmm. and do a whole bunch of like activities all day long before your shows. And yep. it's like, just because when you look at the like the comedy club website, it shows that like the shows are at 7 and 9. Doesn't mean that that's just what our work day is, where we like just go on stage. It's like, no, we're about to go perform an hour of material 2 times in one night a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So it's like the prep and the saving your energy that it takes to go do that is so different. Like we can't go to like Six Flags during the day and like run around and do a bunch of shit and then go do our job at night. It's a lot. And also a lot of time there are things that we need to be doing, not just conserving energy, but like maybe we are podcasting remotely during the day. Maybe we have to write, maybe we have to do other stuff. And it is frustrating, like what you're saying, Delaney, where people assume if you're working in an office, like, oh, well they have a boss and they can't just like walk out or clock out whenever, but people don't always respect those same boundaries if they don't see you in an office.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if they view your work as something that might be fun. Like I know that with entertainment, yeah. people are like, oh my God, that's so fun. Which of course, like it is fun, but it's still work. Just because it's fun doesn't mean it's work. Or like the fact that I, you know, I have a dick cartoon business. It's like, yeah, it's fun, but it's still a business. It's still work, you know? Yeah. And so it's, I think that can be a weird thing too, where it's like, I mean, obviously I'm not doing stand-up anymore, but even when I was doing it the level that I was, which was not, you know, a full-time comic, it was like people just assume that you are available to go out after the show or that you even want to go out after your show. And it's like, yeah. this is work for me. I know it's fun. It's your entertainment, but I'm tired. Like yeah. I gotta do this again tomorrow night. If I was going out after every fucking show, that would be insane. You know? So I know it's like a weird thing that you kind of have to like, you know, explain to people and I don't know.
So hopefully those tips were helpful for you guys. I know that they're helpful for us, definitely.
Yeah. You guys have any like specific work from home tips that you've been really loving for yourself that might not be on this list?
It's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know if I have any that aren't on this list or that we didn't talk about.
I think, so this kind of ties back into what we talked about with Justine Soans. I know that episode doesn't come out for a week, but I think reevaluating what the self-care practices that you did before quarantine were and going, okay, well, I might not be able to do X, Y, and Z right now because of quarantine. So how can I put more time into other self-care things? Or maybe there's new self-care things, but like, I didn't used to go on a walk every day before quarantine. I didn't necessarily used to work out every day before quarantine. So many things that now are like, I absolutely have to do this at least once a day or else I'm not going to feel great. The increased communication also that we just talked about, it's not like I was FaceTiming with my friends from home, not even once a week. Like, you know, we, not that we took each other for granted, but it was more just like, we'll talk when we can talk or we'll text or whatever. But it wasn't like we're going to sit down and have a formal FaceTime. But so I think for me, just being flexible with what self-care looks like and making adjustments.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
We have an iTunes review of the episode. We're getting very, very close to 2,000 five-star reviews. So if you haven't left a five-star rating and review yet on iTunes, please do. It really, really does help the show so much. It's like a very tangible way you can help us, and it's free. Okay, so this is from Moni257. My daily routine, I started listening to your podcast about a month ago when I was searching for something more relatable for self-help topics. I'm so happy I stumbled upon your podcast. It's been my inspiration every day to be my better self. You ladies are so amazing and hilarious. Whenever I'm feeling down or self-doubting, I'm instantly cheered up by all your advice and awesome personalities. Thank you so much for being so transparent and vulnerable to your listeners. You ladies are truly an inspiration. Don't ever change.
Oh, that is so nice. That's so
Thank
that's
you.
That's the bar, people.
That's the bar.
Thank you. Is it Moni?
Moni?
Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
We really need you listeners right now.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
All right. You guys want to do some segments?
Hell yeah.
Do it.
Do it. I have a good shit, I guess. So this past week was like kind of a good shit week for me. My set on A Little Late with Lily Singh aired on NBC. Yes. And it was so nice to have that finally come out. I've been waiting 6 months for it to air. So I'm happy it's out. I felt good about it. And it's just like a positive thing and a like, you know, give yourself a hug moment of like,
yeah, Kelsey killed it. It's fucking great set, dude. Seriously. Thank you.
You're so sweet. Thank you. And thank you guys for sharing it on my birthday. You're so sweet. And then my birthday was 3 days later and I just grabbed that day by the balls and did whatever I could to make it as fun as possible. And it was great. I got to do like a virtual happy hour with friends from home. And I've been very much enjoying Tito's and edibles as of late. I held back for a while in quarantine on like dabbling with stuff. And lately it's just been nice. So yeah, it was like a good shit week of good things happening for sure.
Good.
That's awesome.
Taylor, what you got? What you got, girl?
I mean, I kind of blew mine. I was going to say watching something with my sister and texting, but I already said it.
That can still be your good shit.
I feel like everything we're doing right now is just constant self-care.
Yeah.
I don't know if I already talked about this on the podcast. Did I talk about doing WTF?
I don't think you talked about it on the podcast.
Did I not? Okay. Then my good shit is that today when we're recording this, my WTF episode with Marc Maron came out.
That's so exciting.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, now maybe being on a podcast doesn't seem like that crazy, and who knows how familiar our listeners are with like comedy podcasts. I mean, I feel like everybody knows WTF now because it's like he's got like Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt on and stuff.
He's got Obama on.
I know. He has famous actors and stuff on now. So I basically got it because I think Netflix pitched me for it, but there would have been no other situation where Marc Maron had to watch my special. So I'm grateful that happened. And it was very weird to have my oldest comedy dream. I mean, I started listening to that when it came out right when I turned 16, I believe, or maybe like a month before I turned 16. So it came out a few months before I started doing stand-up. And once I started doing stand-up, I didn't know how to become a comedian or how to make that a job. And I didn't know a lot about the world. And as is clear by this podcast and all of our personalities, we're very like research and like preparation heavy. And that podcast was really like a huge one for me as far as learning how to become a comedian and what the process was like. And if anybody is wanting to get into stand up, I know I get a lot of questions on my social media about how do you get started. I would recommend going on Stitcher and subscribing to the Stitcher premium account, because then you get access to all of the WTF episodes, because there's only like the last 50 or 100 that are public, and just going all the way back, because he's interviewed like literally every comedian. And in the beginning it was only comedians, So doing that was very, very surreal.
That's so cool.
And, I used to fucking, when I was like in high school or in college and had a rough show, I used to like just imagine myself talking about that rough show on something like Marin, and just as if it was, as if it had already happened and I was fine now. And, it was crazy for that to actually occur in real life. It definitely feels like, I'm sure Kelsey, you felt this way, like the first time you did a late night set where you're like, okay, cool. That's a huge thing on my resume.
Yeah.
And that's similar to how it felt where I was like, okay, this was one of the huge like pillars.
It's like a concrete, tangible thing you can hold on to and go like, no matter what happens, I just did that. And like, that will always be there.
Yes.
That's so awesome. Cool. That's go great. Listen to Taylor's episode of WTF and go watch my Little Late Lily Sing set. Mine's on YouTube. Tay's is on everywhere podcasts can be listened to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck yeah. I did nothing like that at all. No TV sets from me, people. No big time interviews. Just me and Maverick hanging out in my bed. Here he is. There's a little glimpse of him.
Oh, hi, buddy.
Sleeping next to me. Just a precious little man.
Oh, did we say yet? Or did I only say that on the Justine episode that we're on Zoom for YouTube episodes now? Did I say that for this one or was that Justine?
I think you said it for this one.
Okay. We're on YouTube. Go watch on YouTube.
Yes, we are back on YouTube. I have my defuck moment is, okay, so for a couple weeks during the quarantine, I was eating a lot of chips. And I ate so much salty food. I was just craving salty food that I kept licking the side of my mouth to like get the salt off of my lips, to the point where I have had a straight up lip rash for about 2.5 weeks now.
Oh my God.
I covered it up for this video, but I just have these like two little red spots right here from eating chips and going, just licking it back and forth, getting all the salt off. So that's my defuck. just developed a rash, developed a quarantine rash from eating too many salty foods.
And then, I'm like, what is this, episode 10? Like, this feels like such an old school Delaney thing to do. This feels like a five bagel Delaney type of day.
I know, I reverted back a little bit, but now I'm, you know, back on track, you know. But that happened and I was like, okay, I have a rash now. It's really time to stop. Really trying to cut down on this. And then my good shit moment is that I've been so resistant to deleting email off of my phone, like removing the app. And I did that like about a week ago. And oh my God, I'm never going back ever again. So I've slowly deleted all the things off of my phone, like pretty much all apps. Like that way it forces me to have designated times where I go to my computer, I sign into that specific thing I need to look at, and then I'm done. And so with email, like, holy shit, dude, it's been a game changer. I have not missed anything. I've still responded to things in a timely manner. It's just, I don't have the constant anxiety that goes along with being able to see like the emails coming in on your phone and be like, fuck, I can't get to it now, but I'll do it later or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like I'm on vacation. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was a big one for me.
Very cool. Oh, well, it's been so nice to talk to you guys.
I know. Nice to talk to you guys. Welcome to another episode of Making It Work.
Yes. share the podcast with a friend or a loved one if you can. Just keep spreading the word. If the podcast has been helping you during a hard time, maybe it can help somebody else. And join Patreon if you want bonus episodes.
Yeah, we got like
over 50 of them.
Over 50 and all kinds of other like, you know, goodies on there, videos, images, rewards for, you know, personal rewards, all that good stuff too.
Yeah, it's a good time. All right. We love you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on TTomComedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at KelseyCook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at KelseyCookComedy. Twitter is at KelseyCook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.